football season is here.
I'm really honored and excited that we're going into the ninth season that I've been here.
Everybody's got to hire a sense of urgency.
Day one, when we go up against Southern Illinois, people are going to find out.
This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Hello, Cougar Nation, and for the first time in the 2024 college football season, the 100th season of BYU football, we welcome you back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah. It is our week one edition of the Coordinator's Corner, our weekly BYU football conversation with the Cougars' coordinating coaches, brought to you by JCW's. And we are just 5 days ahead of BYU's season opener versus Southern Illinois. Coming up on today's broadcast, we'll visit with all three coordinating coaches as we review training camp and preview opening week. Special teams coach Kelly Papinga, defensive coordinator Jay Hill, and offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick all here today. We start the show and the season by saying hello to BYU's special teams coordinator and defensive ends coach, Kelly Papinga. Coach K-Pop, good to see you once again.
It's great to be back. Football's here.
Here we go.
Let's
again.
Go. Yeah.
Let's go. Last year was year one of your second stint on the BYU coaching staff. And this year somehow kicks off your 15th season as a college coach.
Crazy.
You don't look old enough to be 15 seasons as a coach.
No, look at it. My wife and I were just talking about this the other day. Just time flies. It just goes by so fast. And just all the different things we've learned along the way, not just through football, but just mentoring young men and just the different areas we've been in and the different, just all these different kids from different backgrounds and just how they've helped us grow and develop as people. It's been a great experience for myself and for my family, and just feel very blessed and thankful to be back here at BYU and just everything that BYU provides.
I'm so glad you're back at BYU and back for another season. Last year, you were entering the season with a veteran punter, but a new place kicker. This season, the place kickers have been around, but the punters are new to BYU. Compare how you felt maybe at this time last year to this year.
You know, when it goes to place kicking with Will a year ago, I kind of knew what he was going to be. You know, I think there was a lot of doubt from a lot of people, but I had seen him, you know, the year previous at Boise State, and I knew the talent that he had. I think I feel better. I felt better a year ago than not that I feel bad now, but I knew more than I think what most people knew, and I felt very comfortable with Ryan. This year now we're dealing with a punter that's really never been in a game. With Landon and with Sam, but both very talented guys. So, but I do feel that this is the deepest special teams unit I've ever had as a coach, as far as just two really good long snappers, two really good punters, two really good kickers. You know, a lot of people forget about Matthias Dunn as Will's backup, but last fall camp, those guys were neck and neck, and we had to make really a really, really hard decision to go with Will, where Matthias pushed him all the way to the end. So six guys that I feel like can help us win a lot of football games.
Yeah, we know Will Farron more than we know Matthias Dunn just because of game reps, but I know you like both guys, clearly. How was the place kicker competition in camp this year?
Yeah, I mean, Will, you know, from the season he had last year and from what he did in spring ball, you know, he had to really screw up majorly to lose his job, but he was great. He was 92% on field goals throughout fall camp, which is exceptional. Matthias, I think, was around 84%, which is still really good. We say anything over 80% in your field goal range is always really good. And so just really, really excited about those two guys and just the opportunity to put points on the board consistently. And just, you know, I think, you know, Will has a chance to be one of the greats if he continues to just, you know, go through the progress of just becoming a great kicker. And there's been some guys around, you know, Matt Payne's been around, just coming to practice and watching practice. And then we've had, is it Ethan or Owen? I always forget.
The Pochmans, one of the two.
And he's been around, which has been great. Just coming to watch practice. And I see those guys on the sideline talking, and just, it's been fun to have, you know, former players that have been very good here help Will and Sam and these other guys out to, you know, become great players just like they were in the past.
How do you see the division of labor at place kicker playing out? Some guys are short field goals, but not long. Some guys are field goals, but not kickoff. How do you kind of see this shaping up?
Will, I think, has, you know, as talented as a leg as I've been around, very accurate. He can kick it. He kicked a 70-yarder the other day in practice. Now, he had a bunch of wind at his back, but it's still 70 yards, and it's still pretty sweet. But to kick a 70-yarder, I'm like, gosh dang, that doesn't happen very often. But you know, typically for us, we have strategies that we like to follow when we like to kick things. You know, obviously the percentages go down as the farther you're out. But there's a certain mark that we like to hit as a team where we feel like we'll be 100% in that mark. And then outside of that mark, there are certain strategies that we need to make calculated decisions on. Hey, this is a 50-50 ball or maybe a 60-40 ball that we have to be smart about, that maybe we go for it in those situations, or we pin punt. So that's all strategized. It's all, you know, also depending upon when you get into a game. But I feel comfortable with Will really at any range. And then for kickoff, he has great hang time, great distance.
So he can do it all.
He can do it all. Yeah. And Matthias is right there with him, I would say, on the kickoff part. But I'd say right now Will has a slight edge on the kickoff part as well. But you might see Matthias in there as well, you know, getting some reps at kickoff, seeing what he can do there.
Okay, you just threw the 70 number out there. But in terms of working ranges for these guys, what are we looking at?
Yeah, I would say anything inside of 50, we feel really, really good. And that was typically where we practice in the fall and in the spring. It's inside of 50. Very rarely do we go outside of 50. But, man, we've seen Will and Matthias both hit, you know, 55, 56, 57 yarders. We had a scrimmage in fall camp where Matthias came out in the stadium and hit a 56 yarder, which I think the school record's right around 56, 57. So those guys are talking about it. It would be nice to, you know, get a shot at that. But, you know, we'll see how the game flows. But it's not something that, you know, we're – asking for, you know, with Coach Kalani, hey, we need that, you know, that that school record. But if it happens, I would say we're very comfortable inside that 50 range. Even in that 55 range, I think we have a great shot to put it through the uprights.
Okay, let's go to punter then. Can you introduce us to Sam Vanderhaar?
Yeah, Sam is, you know, a guy from Australia that grew up playing Aussie rules football, playing a little rugby too as well. But he's a transfer from Pitt. So he played, I think, the 22 season at Pitt and punted in a few games there. And then after the season decided to transfer, and then he sat out last year and basically used his redshirt year. And so he has 2 years with us, potentially three. We might get a third year out of him, but for sure two, and very talented. He can do it all. He can rugby kick, he can pocket kick. He has a very special talent of just the multiplicity of things that he can do. And so we're excited about him, and it's been a great competition between him and Landon. I thought there was a point there where I thought Sam was going to run away with it early in camp, and then Landon came storming back weeks 2, 3, and 4 and really, really pushing it. And so, I feel very good about both of them. And I would say that people are going to, you know, see the Rico name and see a lot of similarities with Ryan and Landon. Mm-hmm. And just a real powerful booming leg, can get great hang time, get some really good distance on the ball. And yeah, he can also do some rugby stuff that we like to do. Ultimately at the end of the day, you know, we're going to put the guy out there we feel that's going to give us the best chance to set our defense up for great field position.
Do you have a starting punter right now, or do you see them both being available and
use both? I would say both of them are probably going to play in the game, because that's okay. How close it was in the fall. And there'll be certain situations where I think there's certain guys better than others, like in a pin situation or a backed up type situation. There's certain things that became clear, but in the open field, it was neck and neck. Okay. And so when I talked to them a week ago about who won the job, I want to see you both kick in a game and see how it goes. And it'll be fun to see how they do it. So we'll see how it goes there.
Is Vanderhaar your number one holder right now?
Sam will be the holder for the field goal unit, and has done a great job there. Really didn't know much going into, you go back to the spring when he got here. He didn't really know much about holding, but repetition after repetition after repetition, and especially with Will, being the leader of that deal, those guys worked their tails off in the summertime to really perfect that whole operation of snap to hold the kick, and they've done a great job throughout fall camp.
Dalton Rings, Cannon Skidmore, the two primary long snappers right now as well. Okay, when we come back, we'll ask Coach Papinga to put on his other hat as we switch to the defensive line and take a look at his group of edge players. Plus, we'll get a fall camp special teams MVP as well. As we head to break, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review as they break down the film and previewing BYU's season opener with Southern Illinois. That's tomorrow at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. When we return, more with BYU Special Teams Coordinator Kelly Papinga as Coordinator's Corner continues. Brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
Back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Defensive Ends Coach Kelly Papinga ahead of BYU season opener against Southern Illinois Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. In our last segment, we broke down the various training camp battles on the special teams. Lots of great competition at multiple spots. Who did you like as maybe a special teams camp MVP among your guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, I already mentioned it before, but Will Farron had a super solid camp. When you go 92% over a month span of all the kicks that we had, I think we hit over, you know, 50-something field goals, you know, as a team unit. There was more that he hit, but as a team unit, 50-something field goals and goes 92%, that's pretty impressive. And so, yeah, just anxious to see how he continues to go and develop. He had, you know, I think a really solid year ago, going 11 for 14. And maybe he have a couple more opportunities this year now, showing that he can, you know, put some points on the board. At the time a year ago, not super proven, but just, yeah, very excited about Will and the development he's made so far.
All right, and technically I think a junior right now, so some more time to play for BYU.
Yeah, he's got some time, yeah, which is good. It's always good to have a guy like that for a couple more years.
And again, you got acquainted with him at Boise State. He came down from there.
Yep, exactly, yeah, that's where we first met each other. He was the backup kicker there, and then before I even took the job here, he had already entered the portal, knowing that he saw that the guy up there still had a couple more years, and he's a really good kicker that Boise State has. I think he's going to his senior year this year. And so Will kind of saw that he wasn't going to have his opportunity, so was looking for another opportunity, and it both worked out that we ended up here. So
awesome. You are also the defensive ends coach, and you return a lot of good reps from last season on the edge, highlighted by BYU's lone rep on the preseason All-Big 12 team in Tyler Batty.
Yeah, just very, very confident in that group. You know, you go with Batty and Logan and Isaiah Badna, and all those guys have played a ton of reps for us last year. So I feel deep at that position. And the thing that you always want in a position group is you want to have a bunch of veteran guys, which we do, and then a group of younger guys that are just as talented but maybe aren't as experienced, which we have right now in Bodie Skidmore and Ephraim Asiata and Vil Puha. And so there's a really good depth of guys in there. And there's a bunch of other guys too that I've even mentioned that, you know, are right now, you only can practice with so many guys. And those six guys are going to be the guys that practice with the defense. And there's five other guys that are going over with the offense to be the scout team players. And there's some very talented players there too as well. But just the depth is as good as depth that I've had as a position coach, you know, in my 15, 16 year career, that I'm excited to work with these guys and see how they do.
On that depth note, we mentioned Batty, Isaiah Banya back, he and Logan Latui, competing hard at the end. Bodie Schoonover, you talked about. We've seen these guys all a little bit, and you threw a couple of other names in too, Ephraim Asiata and the Viliami Pauha. So, well, that's six guys for two defensive end spots now.
Yeah, and we want to keep our guys fresh, but I also want to play the guys that, you know, are making plays too as well. But ultimately, at the end of the day, those top three guys right there that you see, I feel really good about them. And then Bodie, he might have had the most consistent and, you know, most improved camp out of anybody on our whole entire defense. Physical, playing fast, knowing what to do. He got in, you know, a little bit last year near the end of the games, but I'm really excited to see what he can do. He's gotten bigger. He's almost 270 now and still moving really, really good and super smart. You know, with the line, he has a little linebacker background to him, which, you know, shows that he can move around a little bit. But just, you're very, very pleased with his development and just adding that depth to our defensive end room.
All right, that is the defensive end look. Let's just quickly backtrack for a sec. We didn't get a chance to hit it in the last segment. We didn't hit the return game. Mm-hmm. Primary kickoff and punt returners for you right now going into the season.
Yeah, so kickoff return will start with Keelan Marion, that pretty much did all of last year. And he's looked great. His speed, I think he can be dynamic back there. I think he showed last year that he has a chance to take it to the house every time he touches the ball. So teams are going to have to decide if they want to kick it to him or kick to our off returner or try to kick it, you know, for a touchback. But I feel very good about him. And then Parker Kingston at punt returner. And, you know, in that Oklahoma game, I think people saw, you know, what he can do as we opened up for a big return in that game. So they've both looked great in camp. And I think there's some good depth behind those guys as well. Keelan being another punt returner. Chase Roberts has come along as a punt returner too as well, sure-handed, and a guy that's been doing a really good job of getting vertical in the punt return game. But, yeah, I feel good. I feel we have as good as depth at the returner than I've had here previously at BYU.
Excellent. As we begin to wrap things up, you got onto the field at LaVella Bridge Stadium during camp. The new playing surface looks really good. How fired up are you to get down there for real Saturday night?
Oh, man, it's, you know, there's nothing like LaVella Bridge Stadium. I tell my players this all the time. Every time you step into that place, it doesn't mean if it's a scrimmage or a game, whatever it is, you're going to play your best football in that stadium. Just for, you know, all the fans that we have, for our, the former players that have established that place, it's a unbelievable atmosphere and such strong tradition in there, and it's a privilege for us to step on that field every single time we go in there. And that new surface, man, whoo, those guys loved it a couple weeks ago when they were in there, and it's faster than what it's been. I think the grass is a little bit shorter, but man, they just felt like they felt different being on that field than years previously. And so hopefully it stays that way. We'll see how it all works out. But I know the guys are just excited to play Southern Illinois, who we really respect. And we know that they've beaten two FBS teams the last two years. And we know that we're going to have to play our best football to be able to come out victorious that night. But I know our dudes are excited for that.
Yeah, a really good FCS program, right? And a challenging opener for you, despite the fact they are at the FCS level.
Yeah, they're no joke. And they've been in the playoffs. And, you know, Coach Hill has experience with these guys at Weber State. And he knows exactly who they are. And that he's made sure our defensive players know that these guys are not going to come in and just, you know, give it to us. We're going to have to earn this. And these guys are going to be hungry, and it's going to be fun. I think it's a really good opportunity for us to open up the season and see what we got.
Okay. They have a Coach Hill, head coach Nick Hill. We have a Coach Hill, defensive coordinator Jay Hill. We've got him coming up right after you. Coach, great to be with you once again. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks for having me, Greg.
All right. That is Kelly Papinga. This Saturday afternoon, you can tune to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio at 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 o'clock Mountain, as the Cougs open against Southern Illinois. As we go to break, a reminder, dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and now Harriman. Coming up next, we are joined by defensive coordinator Jay Hill. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's, the Burger Boys.
Gun is Jones, Kiner left hip, tight formation left, wide to the right. Jones throws, intercepted! It is picked off of the 40, 30, the 20, the 10, and the touchdown from Jacob Robinson!
Welcome back to Coordinator's Corner. And on this season debut, we have conversations with all three coordinating coaches ahead of BYU's Lid Lifter with Southern Illinois this Saturday. In our last segment, we hit the BYU special teams with Coach Kelly Papinga. In this segment, we go to the defensive side of the ball as we welcome in defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach Jay Hill. Coach Hill, good to have you once again. Here we go again.
We are at it. Can't wait.
It's an awesome time of year. Last year at this time, you were coordinating a BYU defense for the first time. What kind of difference has a year made for you and your players with this scheme?
Well, I think that myself, the other coaches, and the players will be much more familiar with the opponents in the Big 12, so that will help a lot. I think the players are way better right now at executing the scheme than we were a year ago, just cleaner, tighter. And then just expectations, them knowing my expectations, and then also knowing what realistic expectations I can put on each one of those players is a little better. Anyway, we should be much better in year two.
I'm glad you brought the point up you started with there. You knew what kind of challenge BYU would face in 2023 playing a power conference schedule for the first time. How did going through a Big 12 schedule help determine maybe your defensive roadmap for this season and beyond?
Well, it does. Like I say, we're more familiar with some of the offensive coordinators that will be back this year. Travel in the Big 12 changes maybe some of the ways that you approach some of the practices. I think more than anything, just an understanding of the overall talent and what you're up against week in, week out in this conference. Not that we didn't know all that stuff, because you get to watch film, but seeing it up close and in person is such an advantage year two.
Depth and health go hand in hand. And as far as camp goes in 2024, yeah, you had to deal with the tough Ben Bywater news, which you knew was coming kind of at the start of the month. But I thought you had a pretty clean camp on the defensive side of the ball. Fair to say?
Yeah. You know, you always have your nicks and dings, but I think our strength coaches did a phenomenal job of getting our players ready. We have two really smart sports scientists that I think help control that group and what we're doing. And that entire staff, I think, did a great job of keeping our guys healthy and just monitoring what we were doing in practice each day. I think that's helped. The nutrition that we can provide here at BYU has been a big deal. So Knock on wood, we're very healthy going into a season.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing these guys compete.
Yeah, the vibe to me was kind of like, well, the ones were the ones, and the two, like, they kind of, the group kind of stayed pretty consistent, it felt, for you during camp, which was nice.
It did. It did. For the most part, we had very few injuries. Yeah. And, you know, these guys got better through fall camp, so I'm excited to see what we have Saturday.
Let's go from the front to back on your defense. We start up front. Coach Papinga did a nice job profiling the edge guys. Inside, you bring back veterans in John Nelson and Blake Mangelson. They're really good under-the-radar guys, I think. Not everyone talks about them a lot, but who will join them in your D-line rotation?
Well, yeah, those two I thought played really good last year and through spring ball and this fall camp. I'm excited to watch those two play because they should be monsters this year. Josh Singh really had a great camp. I thought he played well. JT played really good. David Law too got, he is one of the defensive injuries that we had, so we need to get him back soon, and he's expected to start practicing here soon. So Luke really has come along well.
To Omalatai.
Yes, yeah. And he has really come along well the last couple weeks, and so I think you'll see him on the field and doing good things, and he's one of those guys that's just going to get better and better. So I think the depth is better in that group than it was a year ago, and I really like the way those two stars are playing, and Josh Singh. Josh Singh had a really good camp.
You said JT, that's John Taumapeau, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Linebacker, no Ben Bywater, which means the time is now for Harrison Taggart.
Yeah. So I think Harry's had a really good camp. Jack Kelly's played outstanding. I mean, he's everything that I knew he would be, but it's fun to listen to the other coaches rave about him just because now they finally got to see him through a spring ball and now fall camp. And Jack's played really, really good. Isaiah Glasker has made some of the biggest plays in fall camp. His length and speed, I think, is going to cause some fits. And then that group behind him, I mean, I could list off six more guys that have done great things. You just saw Ciali Acera, but anyway, bottom line, I think Justin Enna's done a great job with that entire crew of bringing them along. Again, that's another group that's much deeper than it was a year ago, and there's probably six or seven guys that could really see time in games this year.
You mentioned familiarity with Jack Kelly because he comes from Weber State. You know him well because you coached him.
Yeah, and I got to see him as a young player. I got to see his personality of just what he was all about. And then, you know, last year made tons of plays up at Weber. He's really good at getting after the passer, but he's really honed in on his skills as an inside linebacker. So I can't wait to watch him play. I know what he's all about, and I think the fans are going to be super excited about what they see.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Isaiah, too. Tall, you mentioned how long he is, and I had playmaker as one of the adjectives I have for him. That's what he is. Only a redshirt sophomore. How good could he be for you?
Well, I think he could be phenomenal. In high school, he was more of a wide receiver than anything, and I think everybody kind of thought they could project him at linebacker moving at the next level, but now watching him do it, I mean, he has tons of length, he's got speed, he's got ball skills, so I'm excited to see him in coverage and I'm excited to see what he becomes.
Okay, you already hit some of the depth names as well. Sione Moa, Ice Moa, Che Bryant-Strother, Ace Kofusi, you said Ciali, so there are some names there.
Well, that's what I mean. I could have named probably six or seven. There's others even in that group that have done great things through fall camp. I like the development of the young guys, and this group looks deep for years to come.
To the secondary, let's start with your safeties. How nice to have Micah Harper back.
Yeah, Micah Harper's a playmaker. He's done that throughout camp. He's healthy right now, so I'm excited to see him back on the field. I've not yet coached a game with him in there, so that will be a big deal. He's played a little bit of nickel, and he's played strong safety. And then the rest of the group, I mentioned this before, there's six guys in our room that have started games at BYU, and then we add three talented freshmen to that group. So it's very deep. I'm still fighting through some depth chart things because this is not an easy decision for me. They're guys I love, I care about, I want to make the right decision, and you're going to see multiple guys playing this first game.
Last year's injuries at safety created this year's veteran experiences, it turns out.
Yep.
Tanner Wall, Crew Wakely, Ethan Slade, they got really valuable reps last year.
Yeah, Raider DeMooney started games last year. Anyway, the list goes on and on of who could play. I'm excited. And then you add Falatau Satawala and
Tommy Prassas.
Tommy Prassas.
Yeah.
Those two are playing really, really good right now. And so it's a fun group to coach, but it's not fun. And I think the fans, it's good for the fans to know this. These aren't always easy decisions that we have to make. And the players know it. Those aren't easy decisions. And we fight and claw and dig to put them in enough positions where we can create some separation amongst them. But those guys.
Who's going to make the depth? Who's going to be a travel? Who's going to be a scout? Those
exactly
tough,
right.
tough calls.
And these guys, I get to coach them every day. They've done everything I've asked them to do. And that's why it's hard.
At corner, Jacob Robinson returns with a lot of well-deserved accolades. Mori Bamba's back. Then another guy you coached at Weber State, Mark Collins, joins the defense.
Yeah, Mark, I'm excited about him. He's made a lot of plays in this defense. He's a veteran guy that's been around. He's fought through some adversities with some injuries and stuff like that, but he looks like his old self again. And then Evan Johnson's really played well through fall camp. So that depth is starting to solidify itself and guys really rising to the top.
Darian Alexander III, and there are other names, too, that we could mention.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus McKenzie's a guy that I mentioned before. I think Trey Alexander has done a phenomenal job. The fans, I mentioned this last year. You guys, you're going to love seeing this kid because he's long, he's athletic, he loves football. Jonathan Cabea is another name, a young freshman that's come in and played really good. So, a lot of these position groups look good for the future. Now, there's a lot of young kids in these groups that haven't played a lot of football for BYU, so we're going to need them to step up and play like veterans early.
And are you feeling like today you've got more of a Big 12 defense than you had last year?
Well, I think the depth is much better, and that's one thing. We're not as veteran maybe at some spots as we were a year ago. You know, like our linebacker group with Ben Bywater, Max Tooley, we're not as veteran as that this year with our group as we were last year, but the depth behind him is better. So if there's an injury that occurs, I feel better about some of the guys that will be going in and the experience those guys have.
Perfect. Break time. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the coach and guest, Jacob Robinson. Help us preview the season opener with Southern Illinois. That's Tuesday nights, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. Plus, you can hear it on BYU Radio. Coming up next, we'll get Coach Hill's training camp MVP as we look ahead to Saturday night as well as the Cougars Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's, The Burger Boys, Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's, The Burger Boys, visiting with defensive coordinator Jay Hill, who gave us a great personnel breakdown in our last segment on the BYU defense. Let's open this segment by putting a wrap on training camp. And Coach Hill, if you had to pick an outstanding player or players from camp, who jumped up and made your job easier?
Well, so I did one for each kind of position group. I thought Batty played great on the defensive front. I thought Jack Kelly in the linebacker group, and then I put Jacob Robinson in there. So I think all three of those guys, and then Blake Mangelson, obviously, his position change to defensive tackle has really solidified our defense. I thought he did a great job learning that new spot.
All right, those are the standouts from training camp. Fantastic. It's always going to be about points allowed and wins or losses. Those are the main stats. But are there some things defensively that you think you need to be really good at to get the results you're after, to come down to those bottom line numbers?
Yeah, you got to stop the run. If you don't stop the run, they just the offenses will bleed you a slow death. You're just going to die by a million cuts. And so you have to stop the run. When you do, then you put them in more passing situations where you can get turnovers and sacks. And that's a number, each one of those numbers, we got to get better at. We need more turnovers this year, and if we need more sacks, it's going to start with stopping the run.
Some people call it havoc rate, disruption, however you want to say it. You want to make sure the negative plays are more frequent than maybe, you know, than maybe they were last year.
Yeah. So as we evaluated last season, there were times we were really good and then times we were not as stout as we needed to be. We need to be better on third and long situations. The opponent's ability to convert on those situations was way too high last year. And then we need to be just a little bit better in stopping the run. Doing so, I know, will lead to more sacks and turnovers.
Okay. It all gets underway Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, BYU home to Southern Illinois. BYU's 18-0 against FCS opponents all time. This is a very good FCS opponent, though. 3-2 in their last five against FBS. They make the playoffs. They got to the second round last year. Let's preview BYU and SIU. It's brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Salukis, new starting quarterback, lost their top two running backs from last year, two of their top three receivers, but most of the O-line is back. I think 120 starts almost on the O-line. Coach Hill, you know what a good FCS program looks like. What does Southern Illinois look like to you?
Well, this will be one of the better FCS teams in the country coming in here. I think they're very disciplined. They're tough. They were good on both sides of the ball last year. They went deep into the playoffs a year ago. They lose players, but everybody loses players every year. I think Nick Hill does a great job, one, with his team culture, but also calling plays. I think he's very creative. This will be a team very similar to Sam Houston a year ago that's going to come in here as one of those top FCS teams that will feel like that they can play great against us.
And that does, it's notable when, you know, they're one of only two programs, FCS programs, that have wins over FBS teams in each of the last 2 years.
Yeah, so that doesn't happen very often. So for them to do it each of the last 2 years tells you what kind of program and what kind of team we're facing. I promise you this, we're not going to overlook them. I know what a big game it is for an FCS team to come into a Power Four stadium, the excitement and energy that comes from that. We're going to get their best shot. We'll be ready. I promise you we're not going to overlook these guys.
Even though they were favored in the game, Montana State FCS went to FBS on the weekend, came back, stormed back to beat Bronco in New Mexico in their season opener on the weekend. It happens.
Well, and then you saw Nevada, who was heavy underdogs against SMU, play great. The reality is we're all excited to play a new opponent. We've been fighting and battling against each other for the last 4 weeks in camp. We're excited to play someone else, as will Southern Illinois. They're excited to play someone else. And the atmosphere of LaBelle Edwards Stadium is only going to make that more exciting for them. And we're going to have to be ready for them to give us their best shot, which we will be. Like I said, we have a veteran team and a veteran coaching staff that's not going to overlook anybody.
Ask Coach Papinga about it. You got into the stadium with your guys during camp. Mentioned the new playing surface. It's nice to be in the building, even though it's just a few hundred people in the stands for a scrimmage, but you got a taste of what it'll be like here on Saturday.
Well, and it's exciting. We want to do that before because we had freshmen walking in and getting in the locker room and walking out on the stadium, and just that atmosphere being in the stadium made the practice exciting for them. Wait till you put 65,000 fans in there. And I grabbed those guys this morning and said, wait till you guys see this stadium. You're going to love it. And that's the reality of what this game represents to those guys. It's going to be exciting. I know the fans are going to be excited to be back in there. And, you know, Saturday nights when it's warm, there's nothing like it.
One game at home before challenging back-to-back away games. Going to be great to be back in the building. I remember you sitting here last year and just talking about how, you know, you'd seen it, known it, but when you're actually in it and you're on the sidelines experiencing the effect of it, you thought there was a real palpable advantage to a full building and what it does to that opponent and to the home crowd.
100%. I had never experienced, like, the last time I was in LaBelle Edwards Stadium, The Rock was good, but it was nothing like it is today. And I had not experienced that in the atmosphere and some of the things that they've done to help the atmosphere. It was so loud in there, I left without my voice. I left like crazy headache. And you have a hard time talking to the people next to you. Sometimes you got to put your hand on your other ear when you got your headset on because it's just so loud in there you can't hear. But that's what makes it great. That's why we love it.
Well, we love having you with us, and I can't wait for Saturday night either. Coach, great to be with you again.
Well, thank you.
All right, good luck this weekend. You can get ready for BYU in Southern Illinois this Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Days. Expanded pregame coverage starting 2 hours prior to kickoff, 6 Eastern, 4 Mountain Time on BYU TV. When we come back, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick joins us. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, back with more, and Coach A-Rod after this.
Perfect. Good job.
Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner. It is our first show of the season ahead of BYU's first game of the season. And you can see by this logo here, the 100th season of BYU football. Cougars and Salukis of Southern Illinois this Saturday night at LaBelle Edwards Stadium. 6 o'clock Mountain Time kick on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Our season debut of this show, we chat with all three coordinating coaches we've already visited with, Kelly Papinga and Jay Hill, special teams and defense. We've covered those. Coming up, we'll be speaking with offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Aaron Roderick. We'll ask quarterbacks coach Aaron Roderick why they've not yet named a starter, the decision going into holding off until game day for that call, and how that competition competition went during training camp. BYU and SIU, a couple of notes before Coach Roderick joins us. Southern Illinois, and he'll be facing this defense on Saturday night. Last year, they made their name in the FCS on the defensive side of the ball. These are some FCS ranks for SIU last season. Fourth in scoring defense, fourth in total defense, fifth in rushing defense, sixth in sacks, seventh in team pass efficiency defense, seventh in turnovers gained. Those were some of the primary defensive numbers SIU turned in last year. They lose a lot of defensive starters, but the D coordinator returns, and there are enough starters back to give SIU another strong D once again. When Coach Roderick joins us, we'll talk about his training camp MVPs as well. And Coach Roderick's MVPs on offense during training camp were offensive lineman Waylon Lapuaho and wide receivers Chase Roberts and Darius Lassiter. So again, Coach Roderick's camp MVPs, Waylon Lapuaho on the offensive line, and wide receivers Chase Roberts and Darius Lassiter. We'll talk about those guys and more when Coach Aaron Roderick joins us on the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more right after this. Here in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, Saturday night, BYU home to Southern Illinois in the Cougs 2024 regular season opener. BYU has won each of its last four and nine of its last 10 lid lifters. BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick is coming up. We're going to preview Southern Illinois. Let's take a look at the broadcast schedule for this week's game. It is the season opener, BYU and SIU, and these are the things that will get you ready for both game day and game week. BYU Sports Nation Daily, this show, and BYU Football with Kalani Sitake coming your way, hosted by me tonight and tomorrow after further review on Tuesdays. And then on game day itself, on both BYU TV and BYU Radio, extensive pregame and postgame coverage. BYU and SIU to kick off the season. Last year, BYU kicked off with an FBS program that had just come out of the FCS ranks in Sam Houston. They then took on an FCS team in Southern Utah. And then after a win at Arkansas, BYU found itself 3-0 this year's first three games before a Big 12 play will get underway. Will be the opener with SIU, then a game at SMU. SMU a winner at Nevada on the weekend. Game three will be at Wyoming in Laramie. And then Kansas State will open Big 12 play for the Cougars in week number four. Coach A-Rod coming up next. This is the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner, our first show of the season ahead of BYU's season opener, BYU and SIU. On our season debut, we chat with all three coordinating coaches. We've had Kelly Papinga and Jay Hill. We welcome in BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick now. Coach A-Rod, good to see you once again.
Good to see you.
Well, not every training camp opens with a competition for the starting quarterback job. This year it did. What goes into your decision to hold off to this point on the announcement of a starter between Jake Retzloff and Gary Bohannon?
Well, the main thing is we want to make our opponent have to prepare for both guys. So they're a very good defense. They've defeated a Division I team 2 years in a row. They are a good program. And so it didn't make any sense to just let them know. They've got to prepare for both guys, you know, dig up some film on Gary. They've got four games with Jake. So we just wanted to keep that advantage until kickoff.
Odds are you're going to need more than one quarterback to get through a season these days. The days of one guy going 12 or 13 games, they're very much the exception over the rule. How confident are you, though, that you essentially now have two number ones you can use this year?
Yeah, I feel really good about that. I think, you know, we've all seen Gary play at Baylor, and then Jake did a really good job for us in the last two games of last season. I know those games didn't turn out how we'd hoped, but I think he especially in that Oklahoma State game, started to get some comfort level out there running our offense. And so you're right, about 20 teams in the country will make it through the whole season with one QB, and the other 110 are going to need more than one. And so, you know, regardless of who starts Saturday night, we have a good plan. I like what we're doing, but regardless of who starts, you're going to see both guys this season for sure.
Can you go into the attributes of each guy and what have made this such a really good competition?
Well, they actually have a lot more in common than they do differences, you know, and I think that was true with Jaron and Zach, and that's true with these guys as well. They're both good athletes that can run. They're mobile, accurate throwers, smart guys, guys that can pretty much do everything on our offense. And so we don't have to change offenses with one guy in versus the other. Now they're not exactly the same, but way more, you know, similarities than differences.
Okay, Gary's a bigger, taller, heavier guy with about 30 more games played than Jake Retzlaff. What's the value of just those components compared to what Jake's trying to do with the experience he had last year plus a strong 2024 so far in camps?
I mean, there is value for sure in the number of games Gary started. I think the size difference is, Gary's a big, big, strong guy, but he's also been through some injuries. Mm-hmm. And knock on wood, Jake hasn't yet. So I don't think we'll treat them much differently that way. I mean, they're both going to be, you're going to see them run the ball. You're going to see them throw it. You're going to see them on the move. They both, like I said, can run our whole offense.
Kalani's been asked about it a couple times. Maybe you have as well. In terms of a plan, do you go in saying a platoon is part of a plan, or do you say we're going to let this thing play out and just see how the game goes?
We have a good plan, but I'd prefer not to talk about it right now because, okay. Again, I want to make Southern Illinois not know what's coming. So, we'll just be in for a fun surprise Saturday night.
Well, whoever the starting quarterback was going to be or is going to be, he was going to have a lot of experience around him, right? A wide receiver, tight end, running back spots. And then 4-year, 5 projective offensive linemen all recorded starts last year. And you said it's all just talk until you play, but I know you feel that this O-line can be better than it was last year.
Yeah, and that's the biggest difference for the quarterbacks is, you know, the execution of the other 10 guys around them. If that's happening at a high level, then the quarterback has a lot better chance for success. And again, we have to go prove it in the game Saturday night, but we have a returning cast of players who played in a lot of games last year. O-line, receiver, running back, tight ends, a lot of guys that have played now, know our offense better, know the conference better. And so, that's the goal, is to just execute better around the quarterback.
We threw some names up there. Austin Liuso would also be in that mix at right guard for sure. Yeah. Last season at this time, I know you felt you had a lot of good offensive pieces, but so many of them were new to you or new to BYU or new to each other. Fair to say it just maybe took too long for it all to come together the way you wanted.
Yeah, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I underestimated last year how long it would take us to execute as a unit with so many new players. You know, our talent level I thought was good, but continuity is a huge thing. And, you know, you've seen the scoring has gone down 3 years in a row in college football. And in my opinion, the biggest reason is the transfer portal because everybody has a whole new team every year. and, you know, offensive execution, when we were playing at a pretty high level for 3 years, it felt like the same team 3 years in a row, even though it wasn't exactly the same team.
The core.
But the core of it was the same. And we'd have a guy here, a guy there, graduate or move on. But and then last year it felt like a lot of new guys, a lot of new faces. Well, now those new faces are back. They were new faces last year. Now they're all back, and they've played a lot of football, and so we should execute better.
Okay, 30 seconds on Southern Illinois real quick. A top 10 defensive unit last year. You already mentioned they beat FBS programs. What kind of opponent are you prepping for Saturday night quickly?
They're very well coached. They play really hard. They're very disciplined, good at what they do, excellent tacklers. They're a good defense. This is a big challenge.
Great insight from you, Coach. We look forward to more of it throughout the year. Good to be back with you again.
Great to be here.
All right, that is Coach Aaron Roderick. That is going to do it for week one of the Coordinator's Corner. For our coaches, Papinga, Hill, Roderick, and our entire crew, my name is Greg Rubel. We'll see you next week at this same time. Go Cougs!